I'm going to have Rachel come up. We have an event coming up. Yay, give Rachel a hand, amen. And yeah, we have like one of our art shows coming up. She's going to tell you what the vision and focus is this time.
Hello. I don't know what to do. Okay. As you know, I used to be a part of YWAM for about a year or so, and while I was doing YWAM, I came into contact with some pretty awesome people. Rebecca and Jesse, they came here about two years ago. And they stopped by, they told us what they did. They built homes, I'm really horrible at public speaking. But they built homes in Mexico for underprivileged families. Becky also works specifically with trying to find sustainable food sources for those who live in poverty. She works specifically with hydroponics. If you look at the little flyers we have, there's fish on the bottom and there's vegetables on the top. It's like a fish farm. The fish are in the water, and they fertilize the plants that grow above it. It's not a perfect system. They're still working on it. And her husband, Jesse, works with teaching Bible school in YWAM. Anyway, we've got a great art show coming up. Tons of local artists that are going to be doing this, and all the benefits and all the proceeds go straight to them. So please come out and help us help them. And there's a little short video about what they do coming up in just a moment.
Nosotros, cuando llegamos, pues realmente todo es tierra. Solo era el cuartito de madera. Entonces, el primer día que yo llegué, la verdad, yo no sabía qué hacer. Pero lo más importante es que mi esposo y yo nos queremos mucho y queremos a nuestros hijos.
Yo todos los días salgo a las 7 de la mañana. Trabajo de guardia de seguridad. Mi trabajo está aquí cerca, como a 2 kilómetros más o menos. Y pues me toca descansar solamente los días viernes. Es el único día que yo puedo estar aquí con mi familia. Tratamos de convivir en la noche, pues lo que más se pueda, porque es muy poco tiempo el que estamos juntos. Esperemos que nuestra situación pues se mejore un poquito más para estar más tiempo unidos, para platicar más con mis hijos.
Yo lo que hice fue, como ya no teníamos dinero, fui a los Sobreruedas a pepelar basura, o sea, a juntar ropa, a juntar verdura averiada. Y ahí me di cuenta de todas las personas que están viviendo como yo. Van a la basura a levantar los juguetes y otros niños tiran a levantar ropa, a levantar verdura, fruta. Yo la primera vez tenía mucha vergüenza, yo no sabía cómo iba a hacerlo, pero yo nada más le pedí a Dios que me ayudara, porque todo era por ellos, por mis dos niños. Porque yo no quiero en un futuro ver a un hijo drogadito, yo quiero ver a un hijo preparado. Y quiero que cuando él esté grande se sienta orgulloso de mí y que se dé cuenta ahorita la realidad de la vida. Es si él no se acerca a Dios, las cosas pueden irse de otra forma. Este día nunca se nos va a olvidar, siempre lo vamos a tener presente y a cada uno de ustedes los vamos a tener en nuestro corazón. Gracias, thank you.
Gracias.
Gracias,
Lupita.
Gracias.
What do you think? Pretty amazing, huh? I want to encourage you each to try to come out Saturday for the art show. It starts at 5, right, Rachel?
On February 28th.
Yeah, on the 28th, yeah. And there's some flyers by the offering box in Oueta. If you can grab them, just invite some friends. My daughter-in-law, Jamie Dukes, and another girl from their tattoo parlor actually be here with some of their art and different stuff. And we have just a variety of artists and musicians that come out and donate their time and their gifts. And we'll have dollar tacos. And it's just a time to raise awareness. This couple will be here to answer any of your questions. Correct? No? They won't be here. They can't afford to come here. Well, we're going to do it for them, maybe next time. But, so all the benefits will go to help them to continue to do that. Amen? Awesome. There's an offering bag that's going to be floating by. And if it doesn't get you tonight and you have gifts to give, tithes or offerings, please place them in the back box. Matthew, would you grab that? I was, thanks for coming to the Refuge. It's really good to see each and every one of you. The Refuge is a place. It's your place. It's a community. We're as real and loving and caring as you want us to be. And we're also missional, which is why we do the art shows like this. David was telling me a story. I hope you don't mind, David. But David is telling me a story this week of a homeless guy he met. David works in Norfolk, it's near your work, and he's on his lunch break or whatever, and there was a homeless guy, and David was talking to him, and the conversation led to where David said, "Can I pray for you?" And the homeless guy said, "Of course." And so David prayed for him. When he got done praying for him, that's pretty amazing, right? Then the homeless guy turned to David and says, "Can I pray for you?" Amen? Sometimes we're going to do a series of messages in the God I Wish We Knew, and sometimes we think we have everything figured out and with each other and with God, and sometimes I think if we were to step back for a moment and look a little closer, maybe we don't always see it exactly right. Maybe sometimes we have huge assumptions about each other and about God that if we would just take a moment, we'd realize, you know, just because a person's homeless doesn't mean he's godless or faithless. Just because maybe financially they're struggling in a certain area doesn't mean that they don't love their family, or I don't know, we make a lot of assumptions about stuff. I had an interaction at work, and it basically is the reason that we're going to start this series of messages. I don't know how long it'll go. It'll probably go at least until Easter, maybe sometime afterwards, but there's been something I've wanted to talk about for a long time. And it's God. You think it's a good thing to talk about in church? God, right? And so I have some friends, and they think that this is the only God that exists, a God with an angry fist, a God who wants to crush and destroy and just wipe people out. But one day I was sitting in the dish pit at Why Not Pizza, and one of the young guys, he asked me a question. And it wasn't antagonistic, it wasn't argumentative, he wasn't trying to draw me into a debate. He just looked at me and he says, can I ask you a question, P. Mike? And I said, of course. He said, it's kind of a serious one. I said, of course. Then he looked at me and he asked me this question. He said, P. Mike, why do you believe in God? Why do you believe in God? You know, and that began an interaction. But other people might ask, why do you even believe there is a God? Or the God you believe in, what is he like? And so in Mark 8:27, Jesus had been with his disciples for a series of time. And Jesus was walking down a road with them. And I can just picture this, Jesus walking. And he stops and he looks at his disciples and he says, who do people say that I am? Mark 8:27, who do people say that I am? You know, and they said, well, some say this, and some say this, and some say this. And then Jesus looked at his disciples, well, who do you say that I am? Now, that's an interesting question, right? It's one thing if the world or Jesus were to walk in and ask you, hey, who does the world say that I am? And you get all these answers, but then all of a sudden God turns to you and says, well, who do you say that I am? And if someone were to walk up to you and say, well, who do you say God is? What would you say? And my question is, from the first time you had an idea, a thought, or a concept of God, would your answer have changed today than it was back then? And I would say absolutely in my life, my revelation of who God is has really changed from when I was 5 years old and I'm walking down the street and I'm 35, 40 minutes late. I'm a kindergarten student and we walked to school back then. I know way back in the Stone Ages before they had buses. No, they had buses, but we didn't. In our school district, we didn't. And I was walking home and we had these crossing guards, which were just like fifth and sixth graders, and they protected all of us kindergartners when you get run over by cars, and they had these little safety belts on. And the cool thing is one day, man, if you could be a fifth grader and have one of those belts, you know, and you had power then because you could say stop, and all the kids had line behind me, you say go and they could go, and you would stop, go, you could just really control people, right? Well, anyways, they had already left and retired for the day, and I still wasn't home. So my mom comes walking out of the house, right, and she's kind of freaking out because where's her five-year-old son? And she's looking, and here I come walking down the street, right? And I get right up to the street corner, right? And I don't even stop. And my head's, I'm looking straight up. I don't look two ways. I just walk right across the street and keep walking. Of course, my mom, she's freaking out. She's really mad at me. She runs up and she says, Michael, what are you doing? What were you thinking? And I said, I'm looking for angels. Are there boy angels and girl angels? And at that particular point, we were fairly unchurched. But my mom, she thought it was like, how do I get mad at a kid who's like looking for angels? All right? And I actually think that most of the world, whether they'll admit it or not, are looking for something outside of themselves. But let's face it. A lot of people, at least verbally, say, they don't believe in God. Have you ever met anybody who said, I don't believe in God? Check out this video of some pretty famous people you might know who basically say they don't believe in God. God.
Thank you.
I think it's done. What's amazing is how angry people can get about someone or something they don't believe in. It really is. How energized, how passionate in discussion they can become about something they don't believe in. And the purpose of looking in that video isn't to judge or condemn or criticize. The reality is that there's a lot of people who do not believe in God. And if you're sitting here tonight and you're not sure there is a God or you don't believe in God, you're not a minority. You know, if you're not absolutely convinced or you're not a Christian or you don't have faith in Christ, it doesn't make you weird. It makes you really a part of just a whole bigger portion of the entire world. And we want to just hopefully at the end of a few weeks, if you're sitting here, at least you'll step back and say, you know what? I've got a lot more to consider than I did before. That will at least just look at some things that may cause you to think a little differently. And then there's a lot who do believe in God, but they may not fully understand Him. They may not fully understand Him, you know, and I was thinking about that. There's basically two groups of people we want to look at, those who don't believe in God and those of us, if we're honest, we don't fully understand God. And let me just say this, if you don't fully understand God, that's kind of okay, if that's where you're at today. You see, Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are in my thoughts than your thoughts." All right? When someone says, "I don't understand God," my first response would be like, duh. Like, of course not. And if you ever get to the point that you fully understand God, then He's probably not the right God. He's infinite, and He's the creator, and you're finite, and you're created. And when the created thing says, "I fully understand my creator," and the finite thing says, "I fully understand the infinite," well, then somehow something's wrong. There ought to always be something about God that's a little mysterious, a little bit beyond our understanding, but yet something we should be pursuing to know and understand better. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9, Paul says in an interesting way. The Apostle Paul says, he says, "Now our knowledge is partial." Say partial. In other words, it's incomplete. All right? And he says, and in fact, says it's partial, incomplete. And even the gift of prophecy reveals only a part of the whole picture. And one thing I think Paul's saying is that, you know what? You might, as much as you think you understand, Paul's saying there are things you don't fully understand, that we actually know in part. Paul said in Philippians 3 that I basically, he says, "I have not attained to this yet, but I'm pressing on to the knowledge and the high calling of Jesus Christ." In Proverbs, it says, "Zeal without knowledge," or "zeal without understanding," is a dangerous thing. Have you ever met people that are so zealous for God and so zealous for the faith, but they're lacking some knowledge and understanding of God and how He really operates? And guess what happens? They're scary people. In the name of Christ, they can really hurt people. They're not fully probably representing who God really is. Hosea chapter 6 says that even though you might not fully understand God, you and I should be pursuing the knowledge of God. We should be seeking to know and understand Him better. Hosea 6:3 says, "Oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know Him. He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of dawn or the coming of the rains in early spring." Have you ever thought you knew somebody till you really knew them? Ever? Have you ever thought you really had this person figured out until you kind of figured them out? And that what you first thought wasn't exactly what you think now? Have you ever had that moment, that serendipity, that whoa, back up the bus moment, like you are not the person I thought you were? Hey, let me just be honest. My wife has said that to me a couple times in our life. "You are not the person I first met." Well, I probably really am the person she first met. She's just had greater revelation over 30 some years. Right? A little more understanding of who I really am. Now, let me ask you a question. Say you've got a best guy friend, a best girlfriend, and they start talking to you about this person that they're madly in love with, the person they're going to marry, and just how this person is just the perfect person, and they're so tender, and they're so kind, and they're so gentle, and they're so good looking, and they're strong, and yet they're gentle, and they can come into the room of chaos, and peace happens, and they have an infectious smile and a laugh, and if people are sad, they can bring joy to a place, and all these things, and they're describing this most amazing person. And like, oh my gosh, I want to meet that person. They said, cool, awesome. So they hand you this romance novel and they say, they're in there. And you're like, you're in love with a person in a book that you've never met? And you're like, well, yeah, but he's perfect. Or yeah, but she's awesome. Most of you would look at your friend and say, you need help. There's something seriously wrong with you. You can't love somebody just because you read about them in a book. And yet I wonder how many people in the body of Christ are okay with loving somebody that's in the Bible, in a book, just because they read about this God or this Jesus on sheets of paper called the Bible, and they fall in love with this person in the book, but they have no firsthand encounter or experience with the person who's in the book. So you can read all about how gentle somebody is, but what you don't need in a moment of just, uncertainty, in a moment of just despair, and a moment of just anxiety, you don't need a theory of somebody who brings gentleness and peace to a situation. You need a reality of that person in your life. It's not enough to know that this God in the Bible could do certain things. You need to experience those certain things on what? A personal, real, raw level. Correct? Now, have you ever heard someone say this? I know so-and-so. Name droppers, Like I could say, I know Timberland. Because I met him once at a concert. And I shook his hand. Does that mean I know him? No, that means I met him. And somebody say, well, I know P. Mike. I remember one time this kid tried to come into a concert one time, and I don't know if Jamie remembers, and he tried to get in free. And he was telling, the person at the desk, that was basically admission for the event. And he was like, well, I know P. Mike, and I know Pastor Mike, and Pastor Mike said I could get in free, and Pastor Mike said this, and Pastor Mike said this. And they said, really? And I'm sitting there right at the table. I'm sitting right there, and this girl Courtney's there like, so you really know Pastor Mike? Oh, yeah, man, we go back. And she's about ready to lose it. Because they knew me. Hey, just because I'm your Facebook friend doesn't mean you know me. Just because I accept a friend ad doesn't mean I really know you. Hey, just because one time some pastor, some preacher, some parent, some friend shared you a bit of information about this person named Jesus, about God, and you went to an altar one day and you prayed a prayer and you received or accepted God or Jesus in your life, and in that day you really did meet God, but I got news for you. That doesn't mean you know him. At least not as fully as you could know him. I have this guy that we've been in relationship for a number of years. I haven't seen him in a few, but we used to be quite common. We'd go and hang out. And his name was Corey Russell, and he's one scary guy. And he's from IHOP in Kansas City. And he asked me one time, he says, Mike, do you know God? I'm like, yeah, dude, I know God. He said, no, do you know God? I think so. No, Mike, do you know God? Probably not the way you're talking. I obviously don't know God. And reality is, guess what? I didn't know God the way he was challenging me. Did I know God? And can I encourage you sitting here? If you think you know God and you want to know God, then press in like it says in Hosea 6 to know him more. Don't be satisfied with the knowledge of God that you have in your life now. If you're married, don't be satisfied with the knowledge of the person you're with. If you have friends, don't be satisfied with the knowledge of each other. Press in to know each other even deeper. For the next few weeks, we want to look at who God is. And if this should affect us at all. So let's set some groundwork. First of all, God is knowable. It is possible to know God. In Jeremiah 9:24, it says, let him who boasts about this. You ready? That he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Let him who boast in this, that he understands and knows me. Number two, God is approachable. And Proverbs 8:17 says, I love everyone who loves me, and I will be found by all who honestly search. I want to tell each and every one of you here tonight at the Refuge that not only does God want you to know and understand him, that he is absolutely, positively approachable. Yeah, but what about my stuff? What about my inconsistencies? What about my inadequacies? What about my, let's just call it as it is, my sin? What about my stuff? You know what the cool thing about Jesus is? When Jesus died on the cross and he shed his blood so that your stuff doesn't get in the way of you knowing and understanding the Father. In fact, it says you now have access to him and he's approachable. I believe that you don't have to get your act together first in order to begin to understand and comprehend who God is. In Psalm 145, verse 18, it says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. So if you're not sure about this God thing, hang in there for a few weeks. Maybe after seriously considering our discussions in the next few weeks, you might be more sure than you thought you were. If you think you know God, hang in there. Keep an open heart. Maybe after seriously considering our discussions in the next few weeks, you might know him more and differently than when we started. Let me give you some application points. Try not to miss too many weeks in the next couple months, because that night when we discuss who God is and one of his attributes, it might just be the one you needed that week. I want to encourage you to get a notebook, start bringing it, and start making a list. God is like this, or God is this, and start jotting it down. Looking at the scriptures, going home and saying, God, are you really like this? Because when a friend of mine turns to me and says, why do you believe in God? I want to have an answer. But when he asks me, what is your God like? I want an answer more than the one with a fist. a God of wrath and anger. And is that God in the Bible? Absolutely. And we'll process that. But he's so many more things. The next point of application, and we talked about this a few months ago. We talked about the 15 minutes in a chair. Of taking 15 minutes a day, sitting in your favorite spot, quiet, with a cup of coffee. It's the way I do with the coffee. If you don't drink coffee, juice, water, whatever your beverage of choice is. A notebook and a Bible. And come before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know if I believe in you. Or Lord, I think I got you all figured out. Or Lord, I'm lost in this knowledge of who you are thing. I want you to be more than the God that my parents explained. I think there's more to it than that. And I'm going to spend a few minutes and I'm going to open up my Bible and I'm going to start reading. And I got a journal here. And ask God these simple questions during the next couple months when you're sitting in a chair and ask him, God, are you real? There are so many young people who grow up in the church. And God is real because mommy and daddy said he was real. I'm going to tell you right now, that is awesome to have parents who impart faith to you and teach you about the Lord. But there's going to be a day that you're going to experience a crisis of faith for you. And he needs to be your God, not your mom and dad's God. There's going to be a point where you're going to be challenged on the existence of God. And it's not going to be somebody else challenging you. It's going to be your own questions, your own doubts, your own things in life. It's going to cause you, God, are you really real? And so ask God in the next couple months to reveal to you, God, are you really real? And then the next thing, if you are real, who are you, God? And then just take this journal and start writing it. God, you are this, you are this, you are this, you are this. And start writing down everything you discover. Because wouldn't it be amazing this week if you sat down 15 minutes a day and you did that and God began to reveal himself to you because he promised you he would. And then we come back here next Sunday night and I said, you know what? Let me show you in the scriptures who God is. And you're like, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. That's exactly what he showed me this week. I knew that was who he was. It is understandable if the world who is rejecting God doesn't know who he is. It is not understandable if those of us who know him and his spirit lives inside of us don't understand who he is. When he says, I'm approachable. I am approachable. Come to me and I will reveal to you who I am. Back in the day, God wanted to meet with his people. And God was up on the mountain. And God invited all of them to come be with him. And all the people said, no. Moses, Pastor, you go. We're afraid. We'll stay down here. You go up and you come back and you explain to us who he is. I think when Moses got up there, God's like, where's the rest of them? I think that still happens week after week after week in the body of Christ. Oh, no, no, Pastor. We all got jobs. We got family. We've got engagements. We got kids. We got stuff. We got this. Pastor, you go spend time with God, figure out who he is. We'll come here, and you tell us who he is. And God's like, but I want them all to come. I would love to sit with you and have you sit with each other in this community the way it is and come 30 minutes early and say, hey, you know what? I think God's like this. I read that this week. Like, no, man, that's cool. But let me show you what I found out God was like. And next thing, all around this room, there's a buzz of like, you know what? We're discovering who God is. Because then the big question is, then how does that affect Mondays, Fridays, Sundays. How's that affect my friendships, my relationships, my courtships, my marriages, how's that affect everything now that we're discovering who he is? What does that mean? I think the next few weeks or months are going to be really exciting. And I think 10, 15 years from now, someone's going to look back and say, that series of messages on who is God rocked me. Because I discovered that God was so much more than I ever dreamed he was. And it was all right there. And let me say this. It's not so you can fill your head with just information about who he is. It's so if you know that's possible in your head, then you can begin to experience it in your heart and in your life. Amen? Let's pray. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you that the word is really clear, that you want to reveal yourself to us, that you are so approachable, that you're not afraid of our hard questions, our doubts, our lack of faith, our uncertainties. You're not going to strike us with lightning if we say, I don't believe that. All you ask, God, is that we keep an open heart and that we seek you. And in our seeking, you promised that we would find you. Father, I ask that you would release a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God upon the Refuge community, and that we would discover each and every day new facets of how amazing, how awesome, how deep, how full, how almost indescribable you are. But Lord, you'll give us words to wrap around it. And then months from now, we'll walk out and say, I'm still in my search for the knowledge of God, but the knowledge I have now far exceeds the knowledge I had when I started off in February of 2015. Lord, we love you. We want to know you. We want to make you known. In Jesus' name, amen. Loving each other. And finish eating all the soup.